Vander Jam.
I've dug a tunnel or two in my day, and there's nothing orthodox about it. Good morning. It's the Vander Jam. As always, it's me, Mayor Howard Vander. And as always, you can find me living over on Twitter at Vander_IAM. Coming to you with the first episode of 2024 and, well, I guess a couple other firsts. The first episode where I'm using my new microphone, a lovely Christmas gift from someone very special who I might talk about later but may not. It's also the first episode I've recorded since being prescribed Lamotrigine, whatever, it's a mood stabilizer, so I'm probably going to be a bit more normal. And if not, well, the microphone's going to cut out some of the spikes. It has a pop shield. As always, you can find me living over on Twitter at Vander_IAM. I have a blue sky, but honestly, who cares? And as always, you can email the show at iamhowardvander@gmail.com or check out what I'm working on over on linktree.com/HowardVander, I think. It's in my Twitter. Anywho, if you're listening to this, you probably know who I am, and I don't know why this would be the first one. Then again, the world is an interesting place full of interesting situations and interesting fragrances. The latter part, I don't mind. I recently learned the term olfactophile, and man, did I ever feel seen. Maybe these mood stabilizers are a net harm, but I've already started recording. We'll see where this one goes. Yeah. Hoping everybody had a good holiday, everybody had a festive New Year celebration. The Vander Jam is a safe space. We pay respect to everyone's beliefs until they give us a reason not to. Whether you're believing in God, Allah, magic tricks, or just the human team, everybody's got to believe in something, right? And if you made it to the other side of the holidays, well, it wasn't because you gave in to nihilism. I can tell you that, even if you don't know it yourself. Proud of you for making it through another year. I see you. I feel you. I'm inside your walls. I'm going through your magazine rack to look for coupons that I might use and you haven't, you know, just the usual thing, being a veritable raccoon man. Well, we're already off to a flying start. Fact of the matter is, I've been trying to make time to record. Life, as they say, has been happening. Don't worry, everything's okay. Atypically so, I'm weathering a bunch of interesting recent events, some of which you don't need to know about, some of which maybe you do. We'll see how starved I am for things to talk about this episode. Then again, I'm always approach every episode as if I am starved for things to talk about, and next thing you know, it's been 40 minutes and I've been talking the entire time about Joan Didion. But if I've learned anything through, I don't even know how long I've been doing this show, but across these episodes, one thing has been clear. You can talk about whatever lateral thinking associated bullshit that you'd like, as long as you can tie it back together by the end, people think that it's purposeful, structured, and that you did write out show notes. Those in the know a little bit better. But I guess on the heels of that, I'm trying to give myself a bit more structure in the year to come. Some good things have already emerged. I'm feeling a lot more stable, got through the holidays okay, having a clearer sense of who I am and what it is I want out of life and what it is I want to do with my life. As the boy in the Twisted Sister video says, I wanna rock. Just kidding, I already do. That's been a time of reevaluation. I always get pensive around the holidays and my birthday and weekends. Basically, whenever I'm not doing something, I find myself with a lot to reflect on, and that's why I try to give myself a lot of things to do. The good news is I am working on music again. Somebody in my life has inspired me. They're also the person that gave me this microphone, so in a very literal sense, he has helped me find my voice. I don't know, man. It's been a weird time, and I'm kind of in a weird situation. People who were out of my life are now back in, for want of a place to stay, and, though everybody is telling me that I'm an absolute fool and I'm setting myself up for failure, if there's one thing that I have always tried to maintain for myself and to impart to the home listener, it's that kindness is a choice, and there's value in choosing it. Precisely the value of kindness is that we don't have to do it, but we do it, and thus it becomes meaningful. I don't know if it's going to work, but all I know is it is very difficult for me to see someone that I care about, even remotely, even people I don't care about, to see them in trouble and say, not my problem. While that is factually and empirically true, it never sits right, you know, without quoting Gandhi or MLK or all the great peacemakers of yore. It's the idea that we have to look out for one another. And yes, everybody else turns a blind eye. Yes, the majority of people don't want to get involved. Bystander syndrome is a very real phenomenon. A lot of people want to keep their heads down, get through the day, and that's just fine. I don't begrudge them. I just recognize that I cannot allow myself to be that kind of person, because the moment that we decide to be like everybody else on the planet, we're also deciding that, yep, everything can just stay the way it is. And frankly, all you ever have to do is open up a newspaper and think critically for a couple of seconds before you can understand why I do not find that acceptable. I do believe in people. I do believe in the world. And faith in others or in something bigger or in the very idea of change, all of that can be difficult. All of that can be hard, but that is the value of faith. I remember somebody once said a long time ago that faith is not evidence. Faith is being willing to proceed in the absence of evidence. And right now I'm finding myself, for once, having faith in myself and trying to extend that faith outwards. I do believe in people, I think. Sometimes we all just need a little bit of a chance, and I do know that the only reason that I was ever able to get my life together low these many years ago was because a couple of people gave me a second chance when, by all rights, I did not deserve it, and I chose to make the most of it. Trying my best here, man. It's an ongoing process, but I also recognize that I have to pay that kindness forward. You know, I have to do the same for others. Now, granted, you don't necessarily have to put yourself in that position. Just start a podcast and say nice things about your guests. You'd be amazed at what a difference that can sometimes make to people. All that to say, I guess I buried the lead. Your mayor has discovered that he's probably gay and that emotional relationships with other men actually feel easy and comfortable in a way that, not necessarily no other relationship I've been in has, but there's a certain degree of feeling true to myself that has emerged. It's kind of wonderful. You know, it has been fun. It means I can go back to buying anime graphic tees in a men's small and not worrying about people giving me sideways looks. Now it's just like, I've unlocked my true form thanks to this dope-ass Faye Valentine shirt. Shout out to the people at Hot Topic. You do good work. Or at least you did good enough because you stocked the shirt and sold it for an affordable $12. And I couldn't be happier. Pairs nicely with this maroon cardigan. I don't know, man. Life takes you places. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you run very, very fast for a very long time and realize that you've gone in a circle and ended up back to where you started. And sooner or later, no matter how much I try to grow in my personal life, I invariably return to the desk to, you know, once again figure out something that I'm going to talk about. I could have sworn there was a point when I sat down. The other piece is this evening. I've also been listening to Guided by Voices again, and I don't know if I ever talked about it previously, but Guided by Voices, While probably not my favorite band, I would certainly point to it as one of the most influential, both in terms of my philosophy towards art and my approach to making it. Those not in the know, the short version of GBV is a bunch of guys who liked hanging out and drinking in Ohio, put together a basement studio, and spent like the next three decades releasing five or six albums a year. They broke up six or seven times. They are pretty much the ur example of DIY. Robert Pollard, the front man, you know, a guy with substance issues who's loud and obnoxious and speaks in silly accents for literally no reason. Why would the mayor find an affinity for that? No, more seriously, it's the idea that things don't have to be perfect to be good. Songs only need to be as long as they absolutely need to be. And he once said words to the effect of, I'm happy writing six bad songs if it means that I write one good one, and then I'll put them all on a disc anyway. But more to the point, there are some albums of theirs that I absolutely love and treasure and can sing along with note for note, including the solos, which is, depending who you ask, one of my most desirable or irritating traits. It's great when you throw on some Zeppelin and I'm screeching along with Jimmy's SG in the high mix. Just kidding, I don't really like Led Zeppelin. Stealing from Slaves, man, that just seems low. The point is, Guided by Voices had a record called Propeller, which I've been listening to a lot. It's a very interesting sounding one, but apparently when they released this one, they intended it to be the last one, and I think it came out in like 1991, and it ended up being a breakout hit, to the point where it convinced them not to dissolve the band, and instead continue on to making some of the most groundbreaking and amazing alternative rock that the United States ever produced. And I do believe that they are still recording and releasing music today. Their live show is incredible. I can't say the same thing for myself, but what I can say is I do find there to be a very interesting kernel within that idea that the moment you decide it's over or it's going to be the last one, that's the moment that people start paying attention. The same way that every time I upload an episode, I sort of think to myself, is this going to be the last one? Maybe it ought to be. And then, you know, people tune in, my pod rockets up Podomatic's performing arts chart, and then all of a sudden I'm jazzed up with endorphins and getting high off my own supply long enough to think, okay, maybe I'll do another one. Or, you know, based off recent trajectory, think about doing another one, then take about 6 weeks to actually sit down and make the time for. I swear, if everybody knew what was going on, it would be understandable. The fact that I am sitting here recording lucidly is a small miracle in and of itself. It's pretty much the only thing divine about me. You know, I like to fashion myself the poet of the gutter, as it were. I think that was Bukowski. But I'm better at keeping my hands to myself, and I don't kiss and tell. Except for my boyfriend. Still feels fun to say that. It's interesting. Every now and then you meet a person where just thinking about the way they smell gives you that goofy smile that causes you to float a couple feet off the ground. It's a lovely feeling, and I hope in 2024, each of you who doesn't currently have that finds the person that gives it to them. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a memory, maybe it's a fantastic adventure, maybe you'll fall in love with the very idea of going to Machu Picchu. I don't know, your mileage may vary, that's why Baskin-Robbins makes 31 flavors and not just the one. Guided by Voices. It's also making me think of that wonderful trend in music journalism or criticism where you almost have to overclassify things. You know, GBV as standard bearers of alternative rock, which was this entire thing in the 90s for those who didn't live through it. It's one of those labels where when you sit down and think about it, it doesn't really make sense or hold up to scrutiny, where it's like, okay, Grand Funk Railroad, that's rock. Everclear, that's alternative rock. And before you roll your eyes, Everclear had at least two really good albums. Yes, Songs from an American Movie Volume 1 seems very schmaltzy, but like I talked about with Max Collins, aka the Eve 6 guy, God, that was a lifetime ago. There is something admirable in Art Alexakis and how confessional his lyrics are, namely in the sense that almost nobody could ever cover those songs, right? They are very much diaristic, confessional even. And I mean, that's the same reason why I enjoy the work of poets like Robert Lowell. Skunk Hour, in fact, remains my favorite poem until I write a poem that's better than that and becomes my new favorite. But I also have enough irons in the fire already, and we're 15 minutes in, and I am yet to figure out a point to anything that I'm saying. I try not to have filler episodes, you know? I try not to just have one for its own sake, because any long-running series, you know, you definitely get a few dogs in there, you know, where it's like, well, we had to put out something. It was Monday. Next thing you know, it's Stephen A. Smith talking about his favorite set of toenail clippers or something. I don't know. It's weird how there's this entire booming industry around sports punditry. Because, like, how many different white guys named Kevin do you need to tune into hear what the Red Sox are doing wrong this offseason? I don't know. People think that I don't like sports. I have a casual interest in a lot. I've gotten into MMA, gotten into BJJ, and not just because you can make hilarious jokes about, you know, defaulting to bottom position, but having a secretly wicked top game. Now we're back on the idea of the mayor's sexuality, and I don't like to speak too much about it because always leave them guessing, like a good detective novel. Actually, no, a good detective novel gives you closure and a plausible solution. That's why Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None bothers me so much because it breaks its own rules. The same reason why Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, while a fascinating film and pretty much the subaltern desire latent within all heterosexual men becomes writ large on screen, that one was pretty much written out of canon right away precisely because it violates its own rules. Things need to be internally consistent, even if they make no sense to the outside observer. Much like my own thought process, I tell people it's okay if you don't get it because it makes perfect sense to me. And judging by how many people have stuck it out with the Vanderjam, through all of these hiatuses. What's the plural? Hiati? That sounds like Haiti. Hiati. Yes. That sounds and feels right. Throughout these many hiati, you have all been very patient, and inexplicably, more people seem to tune in every single time. And even if they didn't, well, even one makes a difference. I'm really that needy. Just kidding. Since October, I've gotten used to living independently, learning to self-validate. Journaling makes a world of difference, and whenever it doesn't, I recommend James Elroy's Complete LA Quartet. That's fun. And failing that, Ornette Coleman's The Shape of Jazz to Come. It's easy to take that record for granted because, you know, to a lot of people it sounds like jazz music, but that's where you're wrong, Daddy. It's free jazz. And when you put yourself, as friend of the show Alex noted, it sounds interesting, and then you think about 1959, specifically in a jazz context, and everything else coming out that year. I believe that was also the year of Giant Steps. I think Kind of Blue was 1959, and I believe Mingus Ah-Um, which is another personal favorite record. When you think about those as its contemporaries, and then you boot up the disc, and then Lonely Woman starts playing, you can understand, like, I roll my eyes at stories about, like, Dylan going electric at Newport Folk and people in the audience screaming Judas, how he betrayed a generation because he bought a Telecaster and found a line cable, you know? People are weird about music, and now we're back to classification. You know, I think if you trace lines out forever, you always run into absurdities where it's like, folk music is the original punk, okay. Pete Seeger, he's got punk ethos, I guess. He lived by his values. There's nothing about it that sounds like it. And they're like, okay, but it's the spirit of it. Okay, but Mozart was iconoclastic. Does that mean Mozart was the standard bearer of punk rock? I don't know. Stravinsky, or Gershwin, Rhapsody in Blue. These were foundational albums. Are they punk rock? I don't know. At the end of the day, I just sort of think about it and then say, well, it doesn't really matter because while I can appreciate Rhapsody in Blue is a landmark recording, it's nowhere near as fun as throwing on Kiss's self-titled debut and just hearing the opening drum-filled strutter. I mean, honestly, classical music, it would get so much more traction if there was anything even remotely as fun as strutter. God. Like Kiss, on the other hand, I can fully appreciate their derivative. It is bog simple. The lyrics are. Calling it banal would almost be too generous, and yet, rock and roll, just like any other activity, it's kind of like a kiddie pool. It doesn't have to be deep, it's still fun to splash around in. I know a thing or two about that. I swear this was going somewhere. I mean, other than downhill in a hurry, that's why they call my humble little show the Toboggan of Free Internet Radio. I don't know, gang. Maybe I'm feeling my age. I realize that I don't have much interest in video games presently, and while I have a massive digital archive full of them, nothing's really captivating. So I'm keeping to myself. Cleaning my apartment a lot, generally just taking steps forward towards being an adult. I figure at age 37 it's about goddamn time. But it's good. I don't know what the future holds, but for once I'm not terrified about it. And again, a big part of that is not reading the headlines. There are some people whose entire stock in trade is getting people alarmed about things, and in moments like that, I reflect on a friend of the show, Mercury, and their wise words that everything is going to be fine, geologically speaking. And I think I need to show myself a little bit of grace because I did go to the doctor today, got an STI screening, because nothing, and I mean nothing, is more arousing than a clean bill of sexual health. Also got some blood work taken because I'm feeling really woozy lately, and apparently one of my veins collapsed, so that was a first. They told me it was normal, and proceeded to tap the other arm. And while I don't like needles, I like uncertainty even less. So, onwards, upwards, sprawling into the chasm known as the open field of potential. I don't know. Maybe medication does have side effects. That being said, thinking about off-label usage, so the mood stabilizer that I'm currently on, funny enough, is nominally prescribed as an anti-epileptic drug. I don't have epilepsy, seems to be leveling me out just fine, but it also made me realize that the very concept of off-label usage is weirdly evocative of Martin Heidegger and the concept of the thing in itself, which, and I'm paraphrasing, not to get bounced from my job as president of Harvard or anything. All that ridiculous bad faith nonsense is the idea that the thing in itself is never as it appears from the outside. Rather, it's through the exploration of the concept that we find its true purpose within. And in this case, it allows me to have difficult conversations without screaming and get through a day of work without having episodes of derealization where I want to hurt myself just so I can feel something. It's like that Nine Inch Nails song. And later, that Johnny Cash song. That's right, Teenage Queen. Oh man, Johnny Cash. Now we're back on music again. I do respect and admire Johnny Cash in a lot of ways, and yes, he did write a lot of seminal country music songs. He also had a pretty memorable turn on an episode of Columbo where he more or less plays himself. It's one of the most convoluted setups where one of. Is it his wife or, one of his bandmates? He needs to get somebody out of the way because they're going to blackmail him by showing that he, there was barely grass on the field when he decided to play ball, if you catch my drift. But he also has a pilot's license, and then he ends up flying a plane, drugging everybody with barbiturates, and then parachuting out of it and allowing it to crash. It's pretty ridiculous, but it's worth it to see Peter Falk approach a garden party where Johnny Cash is playing one of the most beautiful songs of all time, Sunday Morning Coming Down, which, if memory serves, wasn't actually written by Johnny Cash, but by Kris Kristofferson. Fun fact about Kris Kristofferson, not only was he a respected and venerated recording artist, not only was he in some of the Blade movies, apparently he was a sniper for the Army Rangers, and he was also a Rhodes Scholar. Fun fact, Rhodes Scholars is also maybe the last great kayfabe tag team name in all of professional wrestling, consisting of The Genius, Damian Sandow, and Cody Rhodes. I also love the fact that whenever they came out, it would talk about how Cody Rhodes is there with his teammate and best friend, Damian Sandow. I just love that little bit of personality. Because, I mean, you're tagging together. Why wouldn't you be besties? The other approach is sort of the odd couple tag team, much as we're seeing with Big Bill and Ricky Starks, where it's sort of like guys that ordinarily wouldn't hang out together, but they discover that they work pretty well. And then you sort of get that moment at the end of every buddy cop film, where they stick out the hand and say, "I may not like you, but god damn it, I respect you." I say that to my bathroom mirror almost every morning. I say it a lot more lately because it's actually true. I guess I'm learning to rebuild, learning to grow, learning how to smile. Going back to Everclear. Just kidding. I smile a lot, but I'm realizing I have a true smile. And I'm only able to feel it by taking steps forward, challenging myself to be different, and finding new ways of being happy. And honestly, it's kind of fraught. It's kind of day by day. But the highs are higher than anything I've ever known. And, it's enough to keep me committed to moving forward in 2024, no matter how much weights and anchors of the past, ghosts of Christmas past even, try to pull me back down into where I was. And as I say with all things, whether it's podcasting, whether it's recording music at home, whether it's figuring out what you want to do with your life or anything else, I'm figuring out a way, and I'm a complete and total goddamn idiot. I guarantee you are smarter and more capable than me, and if I can find a way to do it, then surely there is hope for everyone. That's when we get back on the idea of faith, and sometimes you just gotta stick with something and then see it was worthwhile in the end. Maybe that's the point of this episode. An exercise in faith, brought to you by the good people at whoever makes my current regimen of medication. I did find out recently that the whole reason why RX is the universal shorthand for prescription is derived from the Latin recipere, which means to take or receive. And there's probably a tie-in where I could talk about discovering my homosexuality, but you can write your own jokes at home. I work a clean show, except for why I'm swearing and talking about dicks. On the plus side, with this beautiful new microphone and a lot more time on my hands, you'll be hearing me swear and talk about dicks a lot more in the year to come. If you do want to help me restart the episodes that everybody likes a lot better, aka interviews, where it's not just me monologuing without interruption for half an hour at a time, feel free to shout me out on Twitter. Vander_IAM or email at imhowardvander@gmail.com. We'll get you on here. I swear, it won't hurt. First taste is free. You won't get hooked. Just kidding. They all get hooked. Nobody can handle the Vander. Never mind. Every single time I try and come up with play on words, I just get deeply embarrassed about myself, and I'm not interested in doing a no growth. I'm interested in flourishing and allowing all of my beautiful pollen to inseminate all the plants around me. Okay, I need to figure out an exit line. One thing that definitely is forthcoming in the new year, don't know when it's going to happen, don't know why it's going to happen, but you can look forward to me and my bestie, Medium Hollow, doing a script read of Sam Shepard's True West. It's not a play that I'm particularly drawn to, nor is Hollow, but if we've discovered anything over the years, you just know when an idea feels right. And we did our My Dinner with Andre episode that literally nobody liked, and that just caused he and I to like it even more. So shout out to Medium Hollow as well. Give him a follow. Recently got a clean bill of health, and I am very relieved that that's the case, because it's a two-man op, and I couldn't do it without him. I'm pretty sure that his wife is happy that he continues to live as well. And I guess if you got to the end of this episode, well, you've been good about keeping yourself standing so far. So I will do you the courtesy of not taking up any more of your time, and I think this episode, we're going to go out on a love song that I recently wrote. It feels good to feel good. It feels nice to feel nice. And love truly is all around us. Maybe not always in the form of romance, but it's always possible so long as we reach deep into the blackest parts of our heart and drag it bloody and messy towards the surface. Love takes on many forms. There's no one kind, and in the words of Bachman Turner Overdrive, who predate alternative rock, any love is good love, so I took what I could get, and your feedback and ongoing support is what keeps me going. Yeah, who am I kidding? I probably still record this episode anyway, because what else am I going to do with myself on a Wednesday night? So, that being said, we'll pivot to the close. I promise I will have something more interesting or less circular to talk about next time. In the meantime, though, that means you can look forward to the next episode. If you're not already, somehow, follow me on Twitter. I'm more active there these days. Blue Sky was kind of fun, and then it just seemed sort of purposeless. And I'm like, well, I already have 4,200 people following my bullshit on this one. May as well, you can't change horses in midstream. Also, is it just me or did Biden promise to be a one-term president? Anywho, that doesn't matter. My podcast is a safe space, a refuge away from all of that, and let literally every other news organization or person with a microphone talk about politics. I'm okay just vibing as we head into 2024. So, major love to all of you. Tell someone that you like them. Do something nice for somebody. And more importantly, do something nice for yourself. Make a really big sandwich. Take your medication. Take 5 minutes to just unplug and walk away from your desk and allow yourself to breathe. Much like saving a drowning person, if you forget to breathe, everything becomes significantly harder. And life is hard enough. But another thing I keep learning, the world is a tough place, and we can always be that little bit tougher. If we link our arms and form a human chain, then there is no obstacle that God himself could come up with that'll take us down. Then again, I think the dinosaurs probably said the same thing. But they probably couldn't have made a human chain because they're not human and T-Rexes have those tiny arms. Seriously, it's like an entire species of Chris Benoit's, am I right? Yes. Way to go, Howard. Talking about music, talking about nothing, and then getting back on the subject of professional wrestling, namely that guy who killed his family. We are off to a flying start, aren't we? But if it wasn't haphazard and kind of weird, then it wouldn't really be the Vanderjam. So, thank you for tuning in. You're welcome for tuning out. I gotta recapture the mojo. All I know is I am glad that you are here. I am glad to be spending the upcoming year with each and every one of you. As previously noted, I'm in your walls. Make of that what you will. I see what you're doing. You better stop that. And yeah, I will be back before long with a more focused and pointed episode of The Jam. Because if I wasn't doing this, then I wouldn't be doing much. And idle hands are the devil's playground, etc., etc. I also really need to dust off that old calendar with folksy aphorisms. It is one of my trademarks, after all. And in the meantime, just be well. Stay that way. And I'll be back before too much longer goes by. I swear for real this time. So bring it on in. It's time for our closing prayer. A new year dawns, an old one dies. I have big feelings that make me cry. Some tears of pain, some tears of joy. I really like kissing boys. Life has questions with no clear answer. I'm glad my best friend does not have cancer. If you need a smile, you'll have it, fam, by pressing play on the app of Vanderjam. See you next time. I don't know anything of carpentry. But I can try to build a shelter if it means a place for thee. And you can stay on all of the evenings. Wind is growing teeth, and I'll keep watching till the sun rise if it means that you can sleep. There is sanity in madness, there is friendship and disorder. There's an undiscovered feeling, and it smashes all the borders. You are like me, but unlike me. You're an angel and a person. I'm a mirror, and your reflection is the vastly better version. And I want to be just like you, and have a sense of purpose. And I want to lay beside you, but I don't think I deserve it. With my notebook and a pencil, I'll erase the excess words so I can say I love you in a way that can be heard. I don't know anything of companionship, but I can try to study up and learn to assume the risk. Helix-shaped ambivalence, the opposite's intention. My studies never covered this, or I just didn't pay attention. And I want to learn about you, and I want to be the expert, and to fall asleep beside you in a way that isn't desperate. And I want to learn to handle all these fuzzy foreign feelings. When soldiers keep on marching, we'll be dancing on the ceiling. there's an awful lot of reasons why our love may not be simple. So I'll sit at my piano and I'll drive a steady tempo. With my notebook and a pencil, I will try to find the words so I can tell you that I love you, and it will not sound absurd. And I want to learn about you, and I want to be the expert, and to fall asleep beside you in a way that isn't desperate. You are like me, but unlike me. You're an angel, you're a person. I'm a mirror, your reflection is the vastly better version. Love is messy, love is fine. It do be like that all the fucking time.